Hello and welcome to another episode of Hashtag New Teacher Journey. I had the opportunity to record with Tracy Nicole Smith. Her Twitter handle is at the Ed Epistolary, and that is at THEEDEPISTOLARY. According to her Twitter bio, she is a conscious, driven living coach, education curator, spiritual conveyor, intuitive writer, visionary activist, autism ambassador, and an SDG warrior. She's from New Orleans. She is an absolute amazing educator who inspires, and I've actually been connected with her for a while, and she continues to uplift and motivate so many individuals on Twitter. So we had such a great conversation, and I'm really excited for you to listen. Enjoy your day. So to start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Great. I'm Tracy Nicole Smith, and I'm from New Orleans. New Orleans has been in the public eye since Katrina for their public school systems. We were able to dismantle our failing public school system after Katrina and erect an all-charter school network. Since then, we are now a balance between charter and traditional schools, but I was here for the rebuilding of that. It was a really interesting experience because I got to experience both traditional and charter schools and how their networks work, the pluses and minuses. I have been in education for 26 years, and after 22 years in K-12 schools, I retired. And now I'm just currently an instructor at Ball State University. I earned my PhD in 2013 in special education, and I absolutely love working with adults. The adults that I teach are in grad school, and so they also work with not only children, but they work all the way through adulthood with individuals with autism. Now, I'm also a conscious driven living coach, so I help helpers and healers, people in professions that give all of their inner resources, their mind, body, and soul every day to make humanity and the world a better place. I help them navigate their spiritual awakening journey.
That's awesome.
Yes, I love it.
So in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you have had in education.
The best days I've had in education were when I was able to right a wrong. So a lot of times in special education, you have parents that come to you with medical horror stories, educational horror stories, therapy horror stories, because having a child with a disability is a really difficult journey and it is very individual. And unfortunately, the way the systems are designed, they're not always tailored for individual needs. When I'm able to work with a child, work with a family, and be able to right wrongs and help them and make them feel that the school system can work for them, that therapy can work for them, it is the best day. And I had so many days like that in the public school system. And I was so honored to be a part of that healing process for the families to restore their faith in the system.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It was. I mean, I think about so many different stories. One of the best stories that I had was we had a girl that moved in town from out of state. They couldn't find her evaluation. And she was put in the wrong class in a school. And was, this part of the story isn't good, but she was suicidal when she came to our school. And I was able to advocate for her to get a full reevaluation and get an appropriate placement and get supports and services that helped her not feel so frustrated and bad about herself. And she was able to gain a lot of self-esteem and friends, and she completely turned around in 12 months. And I will never forget her and working with her family. And it was truly just one of the highlights of my career.
It's always great making that positive impact and knowing that you're making a difference. Those are definitely, you know, things that in education we need to hear more stories about.
Absolutely.
So going off that, what are some things you have experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
I would say the most difficult things for me when I was an instructional coach and I was called into a meeting and I wasn't in the classroom with the student and I wasn't working one-on-one every day with the teacher and the teacher aides to help the student. I was an outsider that was a consultant, and that felt very disempowering. Even though I was providing strategies, I was providing support that I would make myself available. And I often left the schools feeling very much like I wish that I was on that campus full time and able to provide more in-depth help, more in-depth resources, create things for the class, and just be like an extra set of hands in the class. And so, looking back, I have so many emails that I saved from teachers and cards from families thanking me when I was an instructional coach and I was going around to different classes for everything I did for their child, that I realized it really does make a difference on what you do with the time you have with the people that you work with. And if you are empowering and you give help that is things that they can look back upon or they can consult when they get into a bind when you're not there. The resources that you give, the skills, the strategies, then I feel yes, even though I wish that I could have moved into every single one of the classrooms, I got attached to all the teachers, was attached to all the students, I know that I made a difference. And whenever I feel down, I'll go back and reread some of those artifacts that I kept for that exact reason.
Yeah, and I love that you kept those artifacts because I'm a person who also saves any email I get, that's positive. Or I have emails from former teachers from 12 years ago that I have saved on my phone. So whenever I have a down day and I need encouragement, I'll pick up my phone and read through those. And it always gives you that extra dose of positivity that you sometimes need on those hard days or days where you're questioning if you're making any type of difference. So I love that you have that.
I love it too. And I remember reading something that Oprah Winfrey said years ago, where she said, people can say 99 good things, but why do we hold on to that one thing? And I think sometimes as educators, we want so much, we're perfectionists and we're overachievers and we love children and we love what we do. And when something doesn't go exactly as we planned or things don't exactly work out, instead of focusing on all the good things that we did, we just sometimes narrow in on that one thing that we can't change. And so that's exactly why I keep it. On those down days, I go back and I say, wait a minute. Oh, yes, I remember this teacher. Oh, yes, I remember this student. And then I feel so much better about what I achieved and what I accomplished and what I contributed.
Yeah, we all need the, I agree with that whole we always focus on that one thing. I think it's part of being a perfectionist. I know that I'm always, reflecting and trying to think through lessons, and with remote learning right now, sometimes things don't go great and I have to be quick on my toes and figure out a different solution for my next class. But the kids have been amazing with understanding and showing us grace, and we're showing them grace back. So that's been something that, has been super beneficial for teachers. I think, whether we're remote or face to face or hybrid, just that, dynamic change. Like we're constantly changing, reflecting, growing. And it is a process, but like you said, we have to focus on the good things that are going right instead of dwelling on that, technological hiccups that we may face sometimes with, Zoom or whatever platform we use or whatever is going on in our day-to-day life.
Absolutely.
So, what is one piece of advice you would like to give any new teachers?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. And I always have the same advice. The advice that I give is the advice that I gave myself when I first became a teacher. I know that sometimes people like to stereotype, and they'll stereotype like the veteran teachers as like grumpy and like unwilling to change. And, they have all these negative connotations for veterans. I gravitated to the veterans in the beginning. I loved the young people because I was young and, I wanted to, have all the fun things with the young teachers. But I respected my elders. I learned from their wisdom. I listened to them and I didn't judge them if every now and then they said something negative because I knew that they had been through so much through their 20, 25, 30 years that I couldn't imagine because I was in the beginning. So I really learned to honor and value the veteran teachers while trying to tell them what I know and what I learned in school and help them calibrate their practices. And if they weren't open to it, that was okay too, because that's their journey. But I always aligned myself with the veteran teachers as the people in the building who have the most information. The other thing that I did was that I really tried to stay away from the negativity and the gossip, because I think that can really bring you down. And it was very isolating for me in my first school. I never experienced this after my class got transferred to another school. But my first school, unfortunately, all of the younger teachers were very catty and gossipy. And I really wanted to be friends with them, but I just could not sacrifice the disloyalty that was in that mix. And I found that not only were they talking about everyone else and each other, but with that just became a whole spiral of negativity. So I developed this theory that listening is participating. So years later, of course, we know people are people, and it's not just young teachers. At that school, it happened to be, but in human nature, people are going to be critical or gossip or say things they shouldn't say. However, when I became a leader of my own team, I told them all, listening is participating. So if you are listening to something that is negative, if you are listening to something that is unkind, then you're participating in it. So just know that being a part of it or not being a part of it means you have to do it 100%. Either you're going to be in it and you're just going to be that person that's going to be negative and talking about people and dismantling the culture of the school, or you're going to be that person that's going to have no part of it. And you're not going to be toxically positive. You're going to own your energy. And when you're having a bad day, you'll say, "I just feel grumpy today. It's not personal." And you just move on. But you don't participate in that downward cycle of just negativity and toxicity because that will truly destroy your vibe at school and change your entire experience. Who you align yourself with will directly impact the type of day that you have. And I try to be that person that lifted people up, and that when someone was having a bad day, I'll never forget. My second year of teaching, someone who went on to be a principal that I worked with later in a different capacity, I'll never forget, she sent a student to come get me. And I went into her classroom and she said, "I just needed a hug." And I was just so touched by that because she saw not that I was toxically positive and disingenuous when I was having a bad day, but that I tried to remain positive at all times. And look at the bright side, because let's face it, just being in education, all of the horror stories that you have to hear from the families and the students is draining enough. Why be drained by the staff that you work with? I need to be lifted up and supported, and I want to be, have that same respect.
Wow. I love that because I think, I remember starting out my first year and, always hearing about the teacher's lounge, and
I went to it a few times, realized that it just wasn't for me, and then I ate lunch in another classroom or by myself for a while. And then when I went to my school that I'm at now, I also tried out the teacher's lounge, and it's fine and it works for a lot of teachers, but for me, being more of an introvert, it just was not my style. So I found my teacher friend that also started the same time as I did, and we lunched together. So that worked out that we could, talk about what's going on, but just keep it between us, and we try to keep it positive and light and just have a good conversation. But I also feel like who you talk to, it does affect a culture, and it makes a difference when you choose to surround yourself with positive, like-minded people.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that about the teacher's lounge because in my first year of teaching, the group of teachers I was talking about, one time I was in the teacher's lounge. I never in my whole 22 years ever ate in the teacher's lounge. And in fact, one of the principals told me I had to. And I told her that that was the hill I was willing to die on, meaning, like, if you are going to make me eat, like, I will transfer out. Like, I'm not doing it. But my first year, I was in the teacher's lounge. I warmed up some soup and just decided to stay in there. And we had a substitute teacher that was from the neighborhood, nicest lady in the world. And some of the catty teachers were sitting there and picked up the newspaper and they were looking at the real estate. And they were like, hey, Tracy, you want to buy a neighbor a house in this neighborhood? It's really cheap. You can buy a house for like $18,000. And they were like laughing and making fun of the houses. Meanwhile, it was a parent slash sub in there eating, and I just wanted to sink in my chair and die. I died a slow, painful death in that 30 seconds. I could not get up fast enough. I was so embarrassed, and I can't even remember if I said something to her or not later, but I know I went back and forth in my mind, like, should I say something? Should I not say something? I don't want her to think I'm a part of that. And after that, I knew, like, I'd walk in and out of there, get my lunch or something, and I would hear people character assassinating families and students, and I just can't be a part of that. And I don't know what it is, but I believe in healthy venting, but I also believe in, like, problem solving. So, sitting there talking about, like, families and, oh, this family's got people in jail and everything, that's not productive. But to say, like, I know he came from a really tough background and what can we do to support him? That's the same exact conversation, but you're being problem solving, solutions oriented rather than having some type of thrill about criticizing someone else's family, which I can't even imagine that that would be enjoyable, but apparently it is to some people.
Yeah, and I think part of stemming from that is just being able to even like for me it was joining social media. Like I was not one who was going to put myself out on Twitter. I didn't believe in it, but I started joining and I saw those educators like you who, were positive and kept that, positivity shining through whatever it is that you're tweeting about or just interacting with, and it changed the game. Like it was something where I felt like I could be myself. I felt comfortable, sharing my voice and just even having that. Then I found other educators who are on Twitter who work at my school, and we kind of formed that common connection that we're all trying to venture out on social media and getting to talk to educators on Twitter. But then also, in the school, it's creating that culture of reflection and growth. And I think it makes such a difference when you find those, educators, even if they're not at school, on social media, you can also connect with amazing educators as
I
well.
love that because I have just been on Twitter a year and a half, and I felt the exact same way that you did. And in fact, years ago, when Facebook first came out, back after Katrina, a bunch of people from New Orleans joined it because, we were all displaced, and I didn't live back in my home state for 3 years. But by the time it blew up, I found it to be very toxic and depressing. So I was off of social media for almost 10 years when I joined Twitter. It completely changed the landscape of my life. And I kept thinking, what if we were all in the same city, in the same district, or in the same school? What an awesome bunch we would be. But then I thought, you know what? There's a reason that we're all spread out across the country, across the world, because they need people like us in every school. And the more people like us that we can create, more people like us will create more people like us. We will be changing the landscape of education one teacher at a time and giving them hope and letting them know that you don't have to be in this cave letting everything fall on top of you because it's tough. You can be around people that'll say, yes, the water is freezing. Yes, you're right, but let's find a way to warm up the water. Let's find a way to swim and make ourselves feel like we're not paralyzed in this freezing water. So, you know, people that are just describing the temperature of the freezing water all the time are missing the whole point. We can all sit around and describe the circumstance we're in. We got to learn how to swim. We got to learn how to doggy paddle. We have to learn how to do something to move forward, because if not, the education system will completely continue to stagnate. But I feel so uplifted and so empowered by young people like you that are getting on Twitter, which I wish I would have had that when I was, you know, in 26 years ago, when I first got into education, to be able to talk to veterans, talk to young teachers, get ideas, have the wisdom of people who've been through things, and then have the experimental nature of the young people all together. And it's changed my life as well. So I agree with you.
So going off Twitter, how can people get in contact with you?
So, well, my Twitter handle is at the Ed Epistolary, and that's Epistolary. And then I'm also on Instagram, Tracy Nicole Smith. I'm on Facebook, Tracy Nicole Smith. And I have a website, TracyNicoleSmith.com. And that's Tracy, T-R-A-C-I. So Tracy with an I. And there's a form on there that you can fill out and get in touch with me. And I would love to hear from anyone.
You're amazing. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For being
You're
on.
Amazing too. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.